to iForum RX, our podcast on the commentary written by Amy Blazek regarding home-based primary care and its impact on Medicare costs, published in the Journal of the American Geriatric Society. Our guest today will be talking about this study as well as the potential benefits of home-based primary care. Now, Dr. Blazek works at the Texas Tech University as well as within the VA system, where home-based primary care is a relatively common feature. So today, Amy, I'd like to ask you a few questions about this study and your thoughts. If you had to briefly summarize in four sentences or less the study regarding the effects of home-based primary care on Medicare costs to someone who hasn't read this paper, what would you say?
Well, so in the study, the authors compared the cost to Medicare and survival of those enrolled in robust home-based primary care service to a very similar cohort not enrolled in home-based primary care. After a multivariate analysis, they showed that over an average two-year follow-up, those enrolled in HBPC showed a difference in total Medicare Parts A and B spending of about $8,500 versus those in the control cohort. Overall, there was no significant difference in mortality between the two groups during the entire follow-up period. A few important limitations to note were that Medicare Part D expenses were not included in the analysis. The cohort was predominantly African American and female, although this is definitely an understudied cohort, and the HBPC program had a highly integrated electronic health record linking inpatient and outpatient visits. But this is the first study to show how an integrated HBPC system can result in real cost savings to Medicare. So this study, to me, is a definite win.
So the study results suggest that home-based primary care can make a difference, at least in terms of cost, if not mortality. Do you think the model of care can and should be applied to all patients with multiple chronic illnesses over a certain age? Or are there specific patient populations you think who might benefit from this kind of service and to whom home-based primary care should be targeted?
Well, I think that's a really interesting question, and as I was thinking about that, the authors really did a very interesting post-hoc subgroup analysis that I think obviously is hypothesis-generating, but I think might answer this question and really had intriguing results. When they broke down the cost savings based on an index of frailty, they noticed that only the most frail individuals showed a significant cost savings to Medicare. I definitely feel with the cost of this level of coordinated care, in order to show where the most cost can be saved, it's probably best to start with those who are at highest risk of hospitalization, long-term care placement, and maybe even looking at overall costs over maybe a certain time period. I feel like I'm talking a lot about money, but one thing I really wish the study had looked at was a quality of life or a satisfaction with care measure. Obviously, it couldn't have been done as the study was designed, but with the seemingly strong social work and care coordination component of this particular program, I'll bet quite a few of these patients were probably overall more satisfied with their care than those who were basically left to navigate the system on their own.
You work in a system that provides home-based primary care to veterans. What do you think are the keys to implementing a successful home-based primary care service?
Well, within the VA, we have a fabulous integrated patient record system that can be accessed both inpatient, outpatient, regardless of where that patient, with at least within the VA system, accesses their care, whether it's the emergency department, the inpatient side, the outpatient side. Everybody has access within the VA system to this integrated patient record system. In the study that we're discussing, they had a really good integrated patient record system as well. I'm not familiar with the specific system, but they did talk about how they could follow a patient inpatient and outpatient. And so I really think that an integrated patient record system is a key in a successful HBPC program. I think one of the other things that is underestimated is definitely the buy-in from all levels. So you have to have buy-in from administration. As we saw in this study, the financial savings may not all come back to the hospital or health system. Really, we're talking about cost savings to the system as a whole, that being Medicare, our federal system. But with more and more successful demonstration projects and subsequent publications, I feel like perhaps the payment system might loosen up a bit to help overcome the financial hurdle of starting and sustaining one of these programs. I think you also need buy-in from the team. This level of commitment to care at all hours, in all venues, is just is phenomenal, and you really do need a team that is committed to care, is okay with little victories. And I think the one thing that we forget about from a buy-in standpoint is the patient. So many times we assume that patients want primary care. We assume that they want care that comes to their home. We assume that they want care in general. But you definitely have to have buy-in from the patient, that their level of commitment to primary care is as good as the team or better.
So my last question, why don't more seniors receive their care through an HBTC program? What are the biggest barriers to acceptance and implementation?
Sure. I think, again, I'm going to kind of go back to cost. But I think in putting an HBPC program together, from the administration buy-in and funding to building the team, it's a yeoman's task, and it really takes a champion. And so I think that, you know, across the country, we're hopefully nurturing these champions within our schools of pharmacy and schools of medicine. But really, it takes a champion to believe in home-based primary care, to get the team together, to get the administration buy-in, and really to be able to focus on patients. And to be honest with you, with the cohort of patients that I work with, I really don't think many seniors receive care through existing teams simply because they don't know that this option exists. And again, when you don't have an integrated health system, it's very difficult sometimes to identify those patients. So within the VA system, it's fairly simple as it possibly can be. But it's fairly easy to find those patients that may be high cost burden or have, you know, recent hospitalizations. Whereas in some of these non-integrated systems, it's probably a little bit more difficult to find those patients. And so I don't think that many seniors know about this care, and it's difficult to sort of track down those who are going to make the biggest impact. I think there is a growing hunger in this country for something different, for something that turns our current system, which some view is not working, on its ear. And with so many health systems and hospitals focusing on transitions of care, I think a home-based primary care program with a strong social work and care coordination component may be just what these systems are looking for.
So Dr. Blazek, I want to thank you today for talking about the home-based primary care study that was published in the Journal of the American Geriatric Society, and for sharing your personal experiences with home-based primary care through the VA system. We welcome comments from iForumRx members about home-based primary care, your personal experiences. Do you think it's high time that the U.S. healthcare system offer home-based primary care and making this option more available to seniors? Let us know what you think. Write a comment or two. This is Stuart Haynes, signing off for iForumRx.